بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأسكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا وإن الله لمع المحسنين وقال الله تعالى ألا له الخلق والأمر تبارك الله رب العالمين صدق الله العظيم. The human being is composed of two components. The first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to in Arabic as the khalq, and the second Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to as the amr. The verse of the Quran I just recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ala lahul khalq wal amr. To Allah belong both components. Some scholars, when further explaining this issue, used slightly different terminology. They referred to one component as khalq and the other as khulq. Now, if you're wondering what are these two components, khalq, the first, refers to the outer shell of the human being, the physical presence of the human being, the hand, the face, shoulders, your feet. And then the khulq is the internal dimension of the human being, the spirit, the soul, the lowly presence of the human being, the lowly self, the nafs of the human being, the ruh and the nafs. It's that part of the human being that can't be seen, but is definitely experienced. When we studied the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions, when they talked about him, they spent a lot of time talking about the khalq, the physical features of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You'll find entire books written just on this topic. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually look like? The most famous book is a book written by the great Imam At-Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi, the Shama'il Muhammadiyya. But there was a lot more focus on the khulq, the internal dimensions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What kind of person was he? Because each companion had their unique experience. What did it mean for them to be around him? What did they enjoy the most? Some sahabi says that I enjoyed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam being so humble, so warm when you met him. When he would greet you, he would smile. He would commit to a shake with two hands. When he would speak to someone, he would make sure he gave that person his undivided attention. إِذَا الْتَفَتَ إِلْتَفَتَ جَمِيعًا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a very humble person. This was all a part of the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But when you dig a little deeper, you find that inside every human being, within every human being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed the ability. There is this platform that exists. Depending on what kind of influence you allow to influence that platform, that's where the human being will be dragged to. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually mentions this in the Quran, where he says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Within the human being, there is a platform known as the nafs, the lower self. And this nafs of the human being can either be dragged in the direction of good, or it can be dragged in the direction of evil. It all depends on how you take care of your own nafs, your own inner self. If you nurture it, you take care of it, it'll go in one direction. But if you ignore it, then it'll go in another direction. Now, I'll come back to this in a moment. First, I wanted to address a very important point that Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi mentions. Imam Abu Hamid Al-Ghazali says, finding the right place, the right effort, the right focus that you should be giving to your body and your soul is important for your existence. It's important for your success. It's at the center of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge you in the hereafter. Because it's very easy for the human being to be obsessed with the material. It's very easy for you and I to be worried and only be concerned about beautifying what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us externally. Walk through the bazaar, buy a new garment, buy a new hijab, you know, apply some makeup, go and get a nice haircut, go and get a manicure, pedicure, go to the gym, go for a jog. These are sacrifices that we're easily willing to make because they have a material presence. When we walk around, we'll hear praise from people. But when it comes to the soul of the human being, because it's hidden from the eyes of the human, and unless you really have a human-to-human interaction, people may never know of your character. A person may be walking on the street, beautiful features, you know, beautiful physique, but until you interact with this person, you'll never know what kind of character this individual has. Now, when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal cares nothing for our physical presence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't care about how much muscle mass you carry. This stuff doesn't really matter to Allah. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam openly spoke and he said, "Inna Allah la yanzuru ila suwarikum wa amwalikum." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at your wealth or your faces. Human beings might be attracted to wealth because we're lowly humans. We really don't have high standards. We might be attracted to physical features because that's where we're willing to settle. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to see your deeds. Your Allah wishes to see your heart. What did you do with your heart? Every human being has a heart that's willing to commit. Every human being has a heart that's willing to submit, that's willing to love, that's willing to sacrifice. Every time I read the stories of the Sahaba, from the earliest generation, and the sacrifices they made, it absolutely amazes me. From the story of Sumayya radiallahu anha, to Yasir radiallahu an, Bilal radiallahu an, Khabbab radiallahu an. When I read the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam standing in tahajjud prayer all night, it amazes me. And I ask myself, were these people human beings or were they superhuman? And for many years in my life, I was convinced that these people were not average, normal human beings. They were superhumans. That's how they were able to stand for so long in tahajjud and read so much Quran and travel on such long journeys just for one or two ahadith. But then one day I asked myself, do I find an example of this sacrifice in today's day and age in the community I live in? Do people like this who are able to make this sort of sacrifice actually exist? And the answer was absolutely yes. There are people who sacrifice. I know people who wake up 4 a.m. every morning to go to work because they understand the need for that sacrifice in order to gain something material. I know people who are willing to travel from one part of the world to another part of the world for a holiday. I've met people like this. I know people who are willing to go on a train for 2 hours just to get to college and will sit on a train for 2 hours and come back home. I know people who, preparing for their exam, won't eat. They'll skip 2 meals a day. They'll just have toast and coffee. I've met people like this. I know people who are willing to climb a wall and jump over, put their life on the line so they can reach Europe, so that way they can increase their standard of living. I know people like this. I've seen people like this. And if people can make these sacrifices for worldly gain, then why can't people make these sacrifices for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's all about where your heart is dragged to. Whether you bring it in one direction or whether you take it in the other direction. You have to learn to focus on nurturing your heart, developing that heart, building that heart. In one narration, some scholars have attributed this to Ali radiallahu anhu, that Ali radiallahu anhu, when advising parents on the ideal model of parenting, he said, divide the stages of parenting in three phases. The first 7 years, the middle 7 years, and the last 7 years. So 0 to 7, 7 to 14, 14 to 21. And he talks about how the first 7 years is about building a good relationship with your child. It's about playing with your kids, introducing them to Allah, introducing them to the Messenger of Allah. Then the middle 7 years, from 7 to 14, that's your opportunity to educate them. مُرُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَهُمْ أَبْنَاءُ السَّبْعَ سِنِينَ. And then from 14 to 21, now it's your opportunity to just be a good companion. Be there to listen to them, Let them bring their issues to you. Be a coach for them. But in the first 7 years, when you look at this model that he creates, he talks about setting the seeds of a sound heart, developing their heart the love for Allah and the love for Rasulullah. How many of us can say that we've been looking for purpose in life? We've been looking for something to do with ourselves, so much energy. When I walk through the Muslim community, when I sit with people, I find enormous amounts of energy, sincere people. But people aren't necessarily sure what to do with it. If you direct your heart in the right way, if you focus on yourself a little bit, you'll find that you can do great things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed the ability in the heart of every person to do good. Focus on yourself spiritually. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. You can go and get as many as back massages as you'd like. You can get a Swedish massage, a sport massage. Get all the massages that you enjoy. But at the end of the day, the peace and tranquility you will experience will be temporary. True peace and tranquility comes when the heart is submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person sits with Allah and remembers Allah. Go and talk to a person who may have shed one tear in front of Allah while making dua, and they will tell you that was the moment in their life where they were liberated. Go and look at people who purified their hearts, who focus on themselves, who align with the Quran and Sunnah, and see what kind of success Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with. The people who dedicated their lives to the Quran, to the Sunnah, to spiritually purifying themselves are pillars of our history that we will never forget. The name of Imam Abu Hamid al-Ghazali will never be forgotten. The names of these great scholars will never be forgotten. And if you were to look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a summary of his entire life, what you will see was that during the day hours, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam committed himself to mankind. And when it came to the night hours, he committed himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He spent the nights in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, crying in front of Allah, asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a famous narration, Allama ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi narrates it in his tafsir under the last verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. The last verses of Surah Al Imran. And in these verses, he shares a narration that one night the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came home. And Aisha radiallahu anha, it was her home. The Prophet came, he lied down next to her. Aisha radiallahu anha, she's the one who narrates the hadith. She says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to me, Aisha, I know you'd like to spend this night with me, but if I have your permission, I'd like to spend this night with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Aisha radiallahu anha granted him permission. He stood up and she says, throughout the entire night, he was standing in prayer, crying in front of Allah, crying in front of Allah. The people in the world may not give you an ear for you to spill your heart out to them. People may judge you. But your Allah will never judge you. Your Allah wants you to come to Him. He wants you to spill your heart out in front of Him. He wants you to do sajda. He wants you to break your arrogance and fall on your knees and say to Allah, Ya Allah, ana dha'ifun. I am weak in front of you. Wa anta al-qawi, Ya Allah, you are the one who's strong. Ya Allah, ana al-faqir. I'm poor. Wa anta al-ghani, you're the one who can give. Ya Allah, ana muhtaj. Ya Allah, I'm in need. When a person humbles themselves in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's special mercy comes to them. Imagine the importance of the message of tazkiyah and spiritual growth. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on his deathbed. Just moments till he passes away. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's health deteriorated to a greater degree, and now he was just in that last stretch, he said to one sahabi that anyone that is nearby, gather them together. Let me give them one last advice. The hadith is in Ibn Majah, and also Imam Bayhaqi rahmatullahi alayhi narrates it. Imam Tabrani narrates. The Sahabi went and he gathered the companions together. They gathered around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he gives them his last advice. And just from these words the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam utters in the last part of his life, it shows us the importance of the message. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke and gave the last advice of his life. He said, As-salah, 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 wa ma malakat aymanukum. Never sever your connection with Allah. Focus on your salah. Don't give up on it. You have to focus on your salah. Your activism is dependent on your spirituality. Your activism is dependent on your spirituality. Anyone that thinks activism is independent of spirituality has missed the point of Islamic activism. What you will achieve in the day is actually dependent on what you accomplish during the night. What you achieve with people is dependent on what you will accomplish when you're alone. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving da'wah to people in the early days of Islam. He's calling them. He has pain in his heart for them. He has a pure message for them. And these people, they turn him away, they turn him away, they turn him away. You know how it feels like being turned away? You know what it feels like? Go and ask someone who had a marriage proposal and they were about to get married, and 1 week before, the other person calls it off. They'll tell you what it feels like being turned away. Your heart's broken. But then you tell yourself, you know what, I don't need that person. Who cares about them? I'll get married to someone else. For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was never his attitude. When people would shut the door on him, he would come back home and he didn't say, who cares about them? He would say, I care about them. I'm gonna go back to them tomorrow again. And I'm gonna keep going to them, because I'm doing this for the sake of Allah. This is spirituality. This man sallallahu alaihi wasallam was powered by something great. And he was powered by those du'as that he made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you develop your spirituality, you create this tazkiyah in yourself. You will find purpose for your existence. Your difficulties will become easy for you. Your joys in life will be shared with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person who has a connection with Allah, I'm telling you something very true. When a person has a direct bond and connection with Allah, no matter what the world does around them, they live in their own world. They have their own existence. They have a parallel universe that they exist in. If the world were to collapse, these people are content because they're connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how great the blessing is, they're connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a bond that's there. In order to gain this spirituality, you have to focus on yourself. You have to give yourself a wake-up call and ask, how long will I continue to be drugged by TV? How long will I continue to be drugged by Netflix? How long will I continue to be drugged by social media and my games on my phone? How long will I be distracted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We focus so much on everyone that we tend to forget about ourselves. But ultimately, Allah will ask you about others secondly, He will ask you about yourself first. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ Allah will say, show me your heart. Did your heart have animosity? Did your heart have hatred? Were you a jealous person? Were you a show-off? Did you have arrogance? These things are not acceptable with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no mercy for the arrogant one. You have to humble yourself in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for a person whose heart is pure and clean, when they come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be rewarded with the highest gardens of paradise. Purify that heart. Focus on it. Engage in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Read the Quran. Connect yourself with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are so many things that a person can do to gain their spirituality. And I recited another verse of the Quran, and I'll translate that verse and I'll close off. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the verse, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا And those who struggle in our cause, those who want something, those who are willing to do something. Everyone talks about change, very few people are willing to do something for change. By Allah, if change just came through word, we would have a revolution every breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Every time Muslims gather together, they talk about revolution. But revolution doesn't occur too quickly because it has little to do with words and so much more to do with actions. Therefore, it's rare because people are afraid of doing. They're very confident and very courageous when it comes to speaking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا Those who are willing to struggle for our cause, those who care for their akhirah, those who aren't obsessed just with worldly possessions, they care for their place, they're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا We will guide them to our paths. You know, I'm trying to pronounce it as clearly as I can. It's not لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سَبِيلَنَا It's سُبُلَنَا Paths. Not just one way. There are so many ways a person can gain spirituality. One person may gain spirituality by sitting by the side of their mother's bed and massaging her feet in her old age. Another person will gain spirituality by looking after the fuqara and the poor. They're doing these things while their heart is connected with Allah. The beginning of the journey of spirituality starts with you asking yourself why you're doing what you're doing. Someone asked a scholar, how can I walk on the journey of spirituality? So Shaykh al-Hadith, Marana Muhammad Zakaria Khan Dahlavi rahmatullahi alayhi responded back by saying, the beginning of spirituality is إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. And the end of spirituality is أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. The beginning of the journey is you start asking yourself, why am I doing what I'm doing? And when that question is asked, now you're on the road. You can actually take anything. You could take anything that you want, touch anything you want, and if your heart is truly committed and you're doing it for the sake of Allah, there is an element of spirituality you will gain. You can sit in traffic and focus, and you can get spirituality just through sitting in traffic. Learn sabr, learn patience, let other people cut you, give them space, it's okay. Giving preference to others over yourself. You could touch anything you want, but if your intention is right, Allah will guide you through that. And the end of the journey of spirituality is where now that you've followed this pathway repeatedly and you've kept pushing yourself, why am I doing it? I'm doing it for Allah. Why am I doing it? I'm doing it for Allah. I'm doing it for the hereafter. I'm doing it for my benefit. So Allah is pleased with me. And when you reach that place, ultimately you will reach the end goal. And the end goal, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described the end of this journey as, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ. That one day comes that you stand in front of Allah in prayer, and it's as if you're standing right in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can see Allah. As if you can see Allah. أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ. And even if you can't see Him, if you haven't reached that phase, people like many of us, فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. Your Allah is still watching you. He's still waiting for you to reach that final line. Work hard, focus. You know, develop focus in yourself. And make this a need, a want, a desire, a passion. When you strive and struggle, Allah will open up the pathway for you. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.